So then the teacher, out of compassion, gives a very, very beautiful example, which is used in our Vedanta, also used in Panchadashi by the teacher. Beautiful example about how this man or woman of wisdom, person of wisdom, functions while he is sitting for meditation or doing any activity, how this person controls their mind and directs it upwards. So verse number 19, it's a very, very nice example. Yatha dīpo nivātasthaha.
Yatha dīpo nivātasthaha.
Nengate sopama smrita.
Nengate sopama smrita.
Yogino yata cittasya. Yunjato yogamātmanaha.
Yunjato yogamātmanaha.
Yathā dīpo nivātasthaha. Nengate sopamā smṛtā. Yogino yata cittasya. Yunjato yogamātmanaha. So as I said, yathā, just as, and tatha. Yatha dīpaho nivātasthaha. So dīpa, just as a dīpa, dīpa is a lamp. You know, the lamp with a wick, not the electric lamp, but the light that we light for aarti. So that lamp, nivātasthaha. Stha means stationed, placed where? Nivāta. Vāta means breeze, wind. Nivāta means where there is no breeze. So if you have a lamp, which is, one is it could be in a very breezy place, then the lamp will be constantly shaking and could even go off. But if so, then you shelter the lamp and put a corner where there is no wind and there is no disturbance, then the lamp is stationary. It doesn't become fickle, doesn't move around. Na ingate, does not flicker, na ingate, sa upama, that kind of example, here is smrita, is explained, that example is being used, is being thought about. So what kind of example? Just as a lamp placed in a place where there is no breeze, na ingate, does not flicker. Similarly, yoginaha, of the yogi, yata chittasya, so a yogi who has controlled his mind, yata chittasya yunjato, and this person is practicing yoga of the atma, yoga of the self. So this person is practicing the mind to be controlled and directed to the self. So how should this person's mind be? What should be our, whenever we are doing anything that requires concentration, focus, not only meditation, but study or prayer or doing some important project or something, how should the mind be controlled? So, he said, just as the lamp, when there is no wind, does not flicker, so should be a yogi's mind. So, why is the flame compared to the mind? Because what is flame? Flame, even though we think it is one light, it is a series of lights, you know, it's flickering lights. When together, when it appears coming out from the wick, looks like one light. But actually, if you look at it with a microscope, analyze it, there's a series of, you know, like little flames coming out, little flickering lights. And then they appear to be one flame, especially when there is no wind. Similarly, the mind, even though we think it is continuous, it is said to be a continuous flow of thoughts. Just as a river is a continuous flow of water, if there is no flow of water, we don't call it river. If the water is stationary, we call it a pond or a lake. So similarly, a flow of thoughts is called the mind. When the mind, the thoughts are not flowing and become still, then that is called a state of no mind. And that happens, you know, in deep sleep. When we go into deep sleep, then there is no flow of thoughts. And that is a state of no mind. That way we wake up after 6 hours or 7 hours. I don't remember anything. You know, I had deep sleep, bahut acha, wonderful sleep I had. Then there's no mind. Or the person who is deeply engrossed in prayer, in chanting the name of the Lord, where the chanting alone becomes and there is no other thought. Or in deep meditation, when the mind becomes completely still and established in the self, then that is said to be a state of no mind. So that's why the flame, just as it is a flickering of light, so mind is a flickering of thoughts. And the flame always goes upwards, right? The flame never goes downwards. If you turn the lamp, the flame will still go upward. So similarly, a yogi's mind, his or her mind is always directed upwards to the Lord. Because whenever we think about the Lord, we say, oh, thank you, God. You know, we don't look down and say, thank you, God. Even though God is everywhere, you know, he's up, down, side, everywhere. But we consider God as higher, you know, higher authority. So just as a person in a company, his office may be on the ground floor, but if he's the boss, they say, you know, the boss above, even though the guy on the third floor will say, you know, boss above us, even though he's down. So anything that is higher, you direct your mind upwards. So just as a flame always goes upwards, a yogi who is a spiritual seeker, his mind is always going upwards to the Lord. And in this case, the Lord is not only upward outside, but within, but also it is higher, because it is the consciousness which controls. My body, mind, intellect are only functioning because the Lord is within me, the consciousness. If this stopped functioning, I would go, you know, I would be lying on the floor and I have to be carried to the crematorium. So that's why the Lord is said to be higher. And what, and we already said why the example is used, because we need sometime example. And what are the cross currents? Just as the wind is the cross current which takes the flame away and makes it flicker, so similarly, it's the desires are our cross currents. So when we have too many desires, then we are not able to focus on what we are supposed to do. We say, oh, it's so difficult. You know, sitting for meditation is so hard. My mind races, you know, it runs. And in 5 minutes, people get up. I can't do it. But you put him in this individual in front of a TV and he's watching, you know, Kum Kum Bhagya or a football game. Do we have any problem? No, complete samadhi. You know, complete focus. Every word of that we don't want. And somebody talks, shh, shh, shh. You know, I have to listen. And then they say, come and eat. No, no, no. In the commercial. The moment there's a commercial break, we run, bring the food, and then we are eating and we don't even know what we are eating. Why? Our attention is on TV. Complete samadhi. You know, there is no problem. No. Does the mind get disturbed? No. At that time, do you think of God? No. But when you're supposed to think of God, you will think of TV all the time. But when I'm supposed to be watching TV, do I think? No. God is okay. Subha ho gayi puja. I'm done in the morning. Now rest of my... So, and then when the person is sitting in front of TV and you say, you know, you should be doing samadhi, you know, sitting with the Lord. He said, I'm practicing. Right now, let me do samadhi with the TV. Then later on, once I have practiced enough, then I will be able to focus on Bhagwan. So I'm practicing doing samadhi. So that's what we are saying, that mind should be focused. And for that, in the next 3 verses, Bhagwan will tell us that you have to put more effort. You have to work more. Why should I work more? Because the goal is higher. So like a person is working 40 hours a day, a week in the company, 40 hours. And they say, boss says, from tomorrow, you have to work 60 hours a week. He said, why should I do that? No, I'm not going to work. Boss says, you know, right now you make 100,000 a year. We'll raise your salary to 150,000. He said, oh, yeah, then I have no problem. You give me a raise, I can work more hours. So similarly, Bhagwan in the next few verses will tell us why we should work more on the spiritual path. What is the extra benefit I will get? And clarity of knowledge of who I am is very, very important. I must have clear knowledge of who I am, what is my goal. Talking about clarity, there's a story about Einstein's chauffeur. I don't think I have told it. It's a very beautiful story. So Einstein, as you know, discovered the theory of relativity, and he became very famous because that was had never been described before. And so every week, or even 2, 3, 4 times a week, he was invited to different parts and different cities and different places to give talks on relativity. And then they would ask him questions. You know, it was a new theory. Nobody had heard it. And so one day, after a few months, his chauffeur is driving him, you know, to the next town, which is about 30, 40 miles away. But nobody in that town knows Einstein. It was longer. It's about 5-hour drive. So it's about 200 miles away. And Einstein is tired. He says, I have this long drive. Then I have to go give that same talk. I'm tired of giving. And then the same, you know, questions they will ask. I'm fed up. I just need a break. So chauffeur says, you know what, sir? I have heard you give this talk 50 times at least. Every 3-4 times a week, I have been driving you. I heard, I memorized your whole talk. Mm-hmm. Not only that, I even know what questions they ask, you know, because the people ask the same questions. So today I'll give you a break. I'll give the talk in your place. Are you okay with that? Einstein says, wow, that's a great idea. You know, you give the talk, then I can sit in the audience. So that they change their clothes. So he puts on Einstein's nice jacket and, you know, top hat and all. And Einstein puts on the chauffeur's, you know, jacket with the name tag and with his, you know, little cap. And so he sits in the crowd and the chauffeur gets on the stage and gives a beautiful talk on relativity, exactly as Einstein would have delivered. He said, wow, Einstein said, this guy is quite smart. And then the people start asking the question, and without problem, he answers one after the other, you know, question, because he has heard the answers. Then one professor gets up and he's a little arrogant and he says, you know, I have a question. So he says, what? So this professor gives a long explanation of his question, what he's going to talk about. He's very arrogant and a lot of ego, you know, like, this question is great and I'll see how you answer. And long question and with a lot of complicated things. And then finally he said, this is my question. Can you answer that? So chauffeur has never heard that question before, right? So he said, this question is so simple, even my chauffeur in the crowd can answer. He said, what are you talking? So when he knew his limits, he knew what he was, then he was able to function. That's why the Bhagavad Gita tells us who we are and what is my goal, what is my purpose. Then even when life throws you curveballs, like this person got a quite confusing question, he was able to handle it. So in life, there will be situations that we did not anticipate. There will be problems. So if your knowledge is clear, if your understanding is clear, you are able to. That's why the study of the Bhagavad Gita is very useful.